On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." So then they remembered his purpose. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This is the gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you have been to a supermarket or the warehouse or even some specialty shops in recent weeks, you probably couldn't help but notice the chocolate bunnies, kiwis, squirrels and chocolate eggs. Now, of course, on top of that, there are marshmallow eggs and a wide assortment of other sugary treats which are aimed at Easter. Even at school, the children were given a few goodies in anticipation of Easter. And also at musical play here, the children had an Easter egg hunt in the graveyard. It's all gearing up for that day, even though Marion told me this morning that some people are confused which day it is. After Easter, the shops often sell the remaining Easter confectionery relatively cheaply. Because, well, who wants to celebrate Easter once it's over and done with? I'm not sure, but I still remember 2 years back, the year 2020. And that was during the lockdown over Easter. And so the warehouse was closed in the weeks before and during Easter. So hardly anybody bought their Easter confectionery or their chocolate. But they had ordered that, of course, and already had it in stock. So once the warehouse shops opened again, the chocolate was sold at bargain prices, real bargains this time. Even a world that denies the spiritual significance of Easter, in which the secular aim of consumption seems to be more important, even in that world, people prepare for Easter and get ready for the great event, however they celebrate it. We as a church also prepare. Normally, when possible, we at least somehow think about Lent, and we probably have Ash Wednesday commemorations. During the time of Lent in the following weeks, we point towards the agony of the crucifixion and what Jesus has done for us. And then particularly from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, we remind ourselves of Jesus' suffering on the cross for us. But we really can only endure the grief because we already glimpse the joy of Easter. In our remembrance, we already anticipate Jesus' victory over death. In the Orthodox Church, Pascha or Easter is the highlight of the liturgical year. There are people assembled with candles at the midnight service, which is on late Saturday night or early Sunday morning. The paschal flame normally comes from a fire that is carried from Jerusalem. And so with this flame, they light one candle after another, and then the flame is passed around as one candle is lit, and then another as in the passing crowd. And as the lights flame up, people shout, "Christ has risen," and they kiss each other and hug each other with joy. Well, not sure, but they still do that at the moment, but you probably can't contain all that enthusiasm. Priests then intone the hymn of the resurrection, and a solemn liturgy follows, after which the festivities begin. We, as the church, are prepared to celebrate the great wonder of the resurrection. But when we read the Gospels, we realize that the disciples were not at all prepared for this event. There was no instantaneous explosion of joy. There was no triumphal declaration of the miracle. No meals were prepared ahead to celebrate the vindication of Jesus. The disciples were not expecting Jesus to turn up to post-resurrection celebrations. The resurrection from the dead was hardly what they were expecting. When we read the gospel accounts, we realize that not only the disciples at the time couldn't fully comprehend what had happened, the gospel writers themselves did not really know how to put the resurrection into words. The gospel writers, after all, were compiling their books several years later, and still they were searching for language to really convey what had happened. And so what they did, they described the experience of the disciples when they first saw the empty tomb, when they realized that something unexpected had happened. And so the gospel writers described how the women took spices to the tomb on the first day of the week. These women were first to see the empty tomb, and they were the first to understand with the help of angels, but they understood that Jesus had been raised from the dead. In their excitement, these women told the other disciples. But so we read in the gospel and in the other gospels, the disciples did not believe them. Well, quite a few other people in the Roman world would not have believed the claim of resurrection. Even more so if the first witnesses were a group of grieving women. Here was an event so momentous, so extraordinary, and a moment flying in the face of all established science, knowledge, and human experience. And the primary witnesses in all accounts are these very ordinary women. In the Roman world, the best witnesses were distinguished men, men of standing. And as many scholars have noted, the gospel writers would not have invented the fact that the first witnesses to the resurrection were some women, women who were not even of high standing. That fact would not have helped the credibility of the Gospels at the time, nor the message that they were proclaiming. The stories about the description of the A resurrection vary between the Gospels a little bit, but they are all unanimous in describing that some common women were the first at the empty tomb. There's little doubt that this description was maintained because it was true. It was only as the disciples met the risen Jesus, who seems to have been familiar and yet different, that they began to understand. Jesus had really been raised from the dead. That didn't mean that his body had been restored to its former health and he walked around for a few more months before then dying or being whisked away. No, it seems that Jesus' body had been transformed. Jesus had gone beyond death. That's something that the gospel struggled with to adequately convey, but they do it as best as they can. And we read in later chapters how Jesus goes through closed doors and appears suddenly, and is the same yet different. There were many Jewish movements in these centuries that faced crisis through the death of their founder. One possibility was that the followers would disperse as quickly as possible to avoid any dire consequences for their foolhardy enthusiasm. Or in a few rare cases, a new leader would emerge who had similar status to that of the founder. For Christians, it was different. Yes, some followers dispersed, we read, but as they experienced the risen Jesus, they came together again, and the movement continued because the followers claimed that the one who led them had risen from the dead. The resurrected Jesus then sent the disciples into the world to preach the good news. The change from the frightened disciples to the emboldened missionaries was amazing. They even faced persecution, hardship, and death because they could now see the more important hope of new life in Jesus Christ. They could see how forgiveness changed their own lives and the lives of others. That's because the resurrection also gave them a new perspective on Jesus' ministry and Jesus' suffering and death. Now they could see the true significance of the cross. In our reading from the book of Acts, we hear how Peter tells Cornelius about the good news of peace, as he calls it. And there's a lot in this brief message. Peter mentions Jesus' ministry, but the focus is on the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, Peter can say that everyone who believes in Jesus, the Messiah, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Through the cross, Jesus carried our sins, dealt with the human rebellion against God. But it is only through the resurrection that this became apparent. It is through the resurrection that Jesus was vindicated, that evil and death were overcome. The cross and the resurrection together are at the center of God's saving acts in Jesus Christ. The cross and the resurrection together are at the center of the good news. For through them we know that Jesus has conquered sin and death and given us forgiveness and hope. And that indeed is reason to celebrate.